Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to our new show called Straight Wives. This is an informational program and just a test run tonight, and it focuses on women who are married to gay men or women who have been married to gay men. I will be co-hosting the show with my co-host, Misty Lynn Hall, and I'm waiting for Misty to call in right now. But if you're a caller who would like to call in, feel free to call at area code 646-716-4893. And I'll welcome any of your calls or any of your stories. What people do not really understand is that in this country alone, the United States, there are over 4 million women who are affected by marriages to gay men. I've been a counselor in this field now for close to 30 years. I've worked with over 50,000 women who have been in this position, as well as several thousand gay men who had issues about coming out. And even though people think that this is a strange phenomenon, it certainly isn't. There are many reasons why this situation happens, and hopefully this program will educate you as to why this does happen. So, just give me one moment. And we're going to have, hopefully, Misty Lynn Hall joining us right now. And just give us another moment. And let's see if we can get her on. Is that you, Misty?
That is me. I'm here.
Hi, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing good. And how are you tonight, Bonnie?
Good. Welcome to our trial run of Straight Wives.
Thank you.
An educational program co-hosted by you and me. And tonight we haven't told many people about this show because it is just a trial run. But you can listen to the show after we make it because it will always be on the archives. So, Misty, tell people a little bit about what you do.
Okay. Wow. I have a very interesting background. My background started out, of course, my experience has led me to today. Experience can be our best teacher sometimes. I was married to a gay man for nearly 10 years. And of course, when I married him, I did not know he was gay. So anyway, after divorce, I rebuilt my life. By doing that, I finished my bachelor's degree in psychology, went on and got a master's in marriage and family therapy, and specialized in grief and grief-related issues. And then with the help and mentorship of you, dear Bonnie, I've started working with straight spouses, and I have such an honor to be here among such a wonderful group of women. And what I do, I just find such joy in helping other women out that have been in their type of situation, being married to a gay man and just really having nowhere to turn to.
I think that it's so important that women who feel so isolated and alone in this situation realize that they're certainly not alone by a long shot, that there are millions of women who are sharing the situation. But when you are going through it, it's really very isolating because you're afraid to tell people, you're embarrassed and you're ashamed, you feel that people are going to blame you because they can't understand this whole concept of gay men marrying straight women. And in fact, you know, one of the books that I have out is How I Made My Husband Gay, and with the subtitle, of course, of Myths About Straight Wives, because people believe that if the man was straight when he married you, how did he become gay? What did you do to make him gay? And these are some of the problems that we as straight wives have to fight all the time to try to educate the public and have them understand that we had no bearing in this whatsoever. But I think you find, Misty, in the work that you do in your life coaching with straight wives, that a lot of women feel that maybe in some way they are responsible before they get started with you. Is that true?
Absolutely, and I can even speak for myself. I remember those days of in the beginning of my divorce, and actually the years before I decided to finally file for divorce, I thought the same myth. My upbringing, my the social norms of our society led me to believe that as well. At one point in time, even though I was an educated woman and had nearly completed my psychology degree, I fell in that same trap thinking, oh my goodness, I must be less of a woman to have turned my husband gay. So I took on a lot of his guilt and his shame, and of course it just pushed me further back into his closet, and I stayed there for a long time until I finally came to my senses. And that honestly wasn't even until probably after the divorce, because I would have people come up to me and make some really terrible comments, people that are supposed to love and care about you and be your friend, and say, wow, what did you do to make your husband gay? What happened? How did that happen? And, you know, of course, that just fed into my insecurity at the time. However, with knowledge and finding the right support and realizing a lot of things, I finally come to realize it's not true. I must be a very powerful woman if I can make someone turn gay. So I don't have those magical abilities. And
just think
none
how much
of the
women
I work
we,
with
just
do.
Think how much money we could make as a sideline if we could actually make people gay.
I'm telling you, isn't that true? So
I know.
True.
It'd be a great business for both of us.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
Wish we could someday figure out that secret.
Mm-hmm. For
but
sure.
But I think that people do get confused, and especially women who are going through this because they do marry their husbands who do love them. In most cases, I don't think there's any kind of real trickery going on there. These men are hoping that by marrying a woman that they can be straight. And it's very confusing for them when they're in their late teens, early 20s, even, you know, late 20s, and they have these urges for men and they don't want to be gay. And they think that if they can marry a woman and love her enough, those feelings will go away. And, of course, that doesn't happen. They just intensify as the marriage goes on. Unfortunately, the men don't take responsibility for this, and they rather throw the blame many times on their wives. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. You just described pretty much my life and many of the lives of the women I work with. I do believe that they think by marrying that we'll, you know, repress the desires or change the desires. And unfortunately, even a lot of these men have been told by professional mental health counselors, people in churches, religious figures, and things of that nature that, you know, to go ahead and be married and that will help and that will fix any type of homosexual urges. Well, we know that not to be true. And having gone through it, we know how that repressing that can actually make it explode and make it worse, manifest even greater than what it would have been. And it's just such a difficult story. And I don't believe that, like you said, I like how you said it's, in most cases, it's not trickery. I don't think it is. But unfortunately, as the marriage goes on, it sometimes gets worse and worse on the stray spouse because they keep looking for things to make the marriage better. And I know I fell into this trap as well because I thought I was constantly being accused that things were my fault. If I only did this, that would be better. Or if I only did that, he could love me more, love me better. And I didn't even realize to look outside myself and realize that it was him being homosexual was the problem.
I know.
That's
I think
really
a lot
sad.
Of us, especially, when did you find out in your marriage, Misty? How late into your marriage did you find
wow.
out?
That's such an interesting question. Honestly, thinking back, I think I have to say subconsciously because I've decided after going through this marriage and after working with so many of these women that we know this, if not on a conscious level, a subconscious level. I think we really register it on a subconscious level. Subconsciously, I must have known it really early on. Consciously, I think it came to light probably 2 to 3 years into it, and it really didn't come to light 100%. It was just this gut gnawing, this intuition that I didn't trust.
Let me ask you this question. How old were you when you got married?
I was very young. I was 19, maybe 20, but I think I was 19. And he was my first major love, and oh, was I in love. We could
How old was he at that time?
He was 3 years older than me, so that would have made him roughly, 22, 23, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was young, too.
And where did you meet him?
We met, this is so interesting, my first year of college at the local community college. So this was a guy from a good family. His family went to church. My family went to church. His family was good workers and all those important things that families look for when their children are getting married. His family accepted me. My family accepted him. And we met each other my very first semester in a computer class, of all things.
Huh.
And I knew very little about computers, and he was helping me. And you have to remember, this was way back in the early, it wasn't even the 90s. It was in the late 80s. So computers were not such a big deal then. And he really helped me out a lot. We got to know each other. Very nice, very handsome. He was very handsome. And that's where I met him.
And did you date for a while before you got married?
Yes, we did. We dated for 2 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yes.
So people, of course, will say to you, well, in those 2 years, couldn't you tell he was gay?
Absolutely. I have to answer that question a lot. And I actually even describe this to a lot of the women I worked with as well. In those 2 years, being that he was my first major love experience, I was very naive. You know, I didn't realize that him being, let's see, how can I put this?
Not sexually aggressive with you?
Absolutely. That's the best way to put it. He was not aggressive towards any type of sex at all. And I thought, oh, my goodness, he is the one. He respects me and he respects my body.
And I think that's what misleads so many women, because especially back in the 80s, when AIDS was so prevalent and everybody was afraid to have sex, that people would, you know, really prefer to go with a guy who wasn't going to be sexually aggressive, not thinking that was going to be the case. But
Absolutely. And to add on top of that, you have to remember, I grew up in the Appalachian area, Bible Belt area, and that was another thing. His family and my family growing up, going to church, you were taught you do not have any type of sexual intercourse before marriage. Marriage comes first.
And I think another thing is also, Misty, you have to take back into historical context that what did we know about in the 80s about gay men marrying straight women? But before we go on, we have a guest with us, so hold on just one moment.
Okay.
And we'll see who's with us. Hello? Hello? Are you with us? Are you, I think we have a guest with us. Are you on the phone with us? Are you still there, Misty?
Yes, I'm still here, Bonnie. I can hear you.
Okay. And I think we have a guest with us. Are you there? No, the caller called off. But anybody who would like to call in, please feel free to call in. Our number is area code 646-716-4893. And if you have a question, feel free to call. Or if you're a gay male who needs some advice, please feel free to call us also. Or if you are a straight wife, we're more than happy to talk to you. So let's go back to your story back in the Bible Belt days of the 80s when nobody even knew that gay men would be marrying straight women. And you were with your boyfriend, then to be husband, for 2 years before you got married.
Mm-hmm.
So you really didn't have much sexual experience. Is that true?
That is absolutely true, because growing up in the church I grew up in, good girls didn't do that. So if you were a good girl, you were not supposed to do it. You waited till you were married, and then once you married for life. That was understood.
Where did you get married?
Pardon?
Where were you married?
We had quite a large wedding. We had the fairy tale wedding at a country club. It was a beautiful day, lots and lots of people there, lots of food, lots of family, lots of friends, everything to make a beautiful, perfect day. We were married on the 18th hole of a golf course, and it was
wow.
A beautiful green and a beautiful day. And we even married on a Sunday because I wanted our wedding anniversary to coincide with my parents' wedding anniversary because their marriage had been such a success and lasted so long.
Now, when you met your husband, had he dated much before you?
He so somewhat had dated. He told me he had dated, but what I later found out, I think it was mostly friends. I don't think it was he was serious with really any particular relationship. There was maybe possibly 2 to 3 short-term relationships with women. In terms of men, I don't know.
And how about, was he involved in the same church that you were involved with?
No, and that was their greatest conflict, or at least I thought at the time. Now, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
He was, I grew up in a Church of Christ, and he grew up in Baptist. So that's about as far apart as you can get in my world that I grew up in. So that was the only sort of mark against him in terms of my family.
But he still grew up with the same kind of Christian values.
Absolutely.
So it wouldn't seem unusual if he wasn't sexually all over you prior to marriage, correct?
Right. That was the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
So once you got married, when did you start noticing that there were problems?
Oh, dear. I noticed the problems the first week I was married. I didn't think things were normal. I couldn't put my finger on just anything, but I thought that I realized the want and the desire was not there, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what's wrong?
Now, how about before you were married? Did everything seem fine, or were there little things that were giving you hints? And not necessarily hints that he was gay, but just something that was off.
There was only one thing that was off. We had a I would call it a good relationship. The only thing that was off, we were preparing for the wedding, and something didn't show up. And last minute, he took me somewhere to pick something up, and I can't even remember what it was. Well, I wasn't ready exactly at the time he was supposed to be there, and he got so mad when he came to pick me up because
mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready, and he just threw this rage, awful fit, something that I had never seen. Well, of course, later he apologized for it, and I had never seen him behave like that before in the 2 years, so I thought, well, I guess he's just under a lot of stress. I am, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely dismissed it. Little did I know he was a rageaholic.
And that, of course, do you think that was tied into the gay, though, or do you think that was just his personality?
Well, I'm going to say for him it was, and here's why. And I'm going to answer this two ways. Are all gay men rageaholics? Absolutely not. Was he a rageaholic, and was it tied to him being gay? I'm going to say yes, and here's why. In the beginning, he wasn't so angry. Our marriage just wasn't, something about it just wasn't right, but he wasn't mean and abusive. The longer we were married, the more abusive and the more mean he got. What I truly think now, to reflect back on my story, is he repressed it. I truly think it bothered him as well. I do not think he would have ever chosen this path to be gay. And he was having so many problems with it himself. But I didn't realize that at the time.
I think a lot of that rage comes from the fact that the men who do marry straight women, and once again, there are millions of them. I would say about 20% of the gay community or gay men do try getting married in their lifetime when they think they can be straight. But I think that when the marriage is not fulfilling that need and they're still having those urges, they feel that frustration, and instead of accepting the responsibility for it, they blame it on us.
Absolutely. That's where I was leading up to. He saw me as the obstacle to not get what he wanted.
Do you think it was that, Misty, or do you think he was angry because he felt you should be able to cure those feelings for him?
You know, that's a good question, Bunny. It could be that as well. I could add that on there as well. That could be part of it as well.
I think a lot of these men expect a lot from us, and that if we were only supportive enough, if we loved them the right way, I think that a lot of times they use that as an excuse of why they are gay, and I think that maybe some of that anger is because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That they're hoping that when they marry us, that we'll be able to take away those thoughts from them, and rather than take responsibility for those thoughts, they'd rather sit and blame us and say, you know, we weren't successful in doing our jobs.
Absolutely. I got blamed for everything. The pancakes were not round enough. The laundry was not folded right. I didn't take the garbage out correctly, and I didn't load the dishwasher correctly. I mean, just those little things constantly nagging, constantly.
I'm just curious.
It wears away.
Did he try isolating you from people?
Oh, yes. That's he became quite the manipulator, controller, slash rageaholic. And as the marriage progressed, it continually got worse and stepped up. Once we married, he suddenly didn't like anyone in my family, and we distanced ourselves from my family. I allowed him to let me do that. Because we'd moved away. We'd moved away to go to university, and that was quite a few hours from where I grew up and my family and from his family. But any time I would talk to my family on the phone or have friends or talk to my friends, it was always an ordeal. He didn't like something about them. They were using me in some way. It was all these little things he was saying that were not true. However, when you live inside such a situation like this where someone is belittling you constantly and it's someone that you look up to and you love, you internalize this. I don't care how smart and or how educated you are. After you hear it and live it so long, you begin to believe it, and you take all those beliefs as your own belief system. And I did that.
And I think that's very common for so many of our women to start internalizing the failures of the marriage as their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you have a controlling husband who keeps blaming you for everything, that after a while you think you can do no right and that everything you are doing is wrong. And I think you brought up a really good point that this problem goes through every social strata in life. I've worked with women through the years who are the wealthiest women, who have excellent jobs, politicians, actresses,
mm-hmm.
people who are in the public eye. I've worked with people who have limited education, who are on public assistance. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how poor you are. But especially when people say, well, how smart can you be if, you know, you can't pick this up? But you don't. I mean, these guys just destroy your self-esteem. They knock it down.
Absolutely.
They peel it away one layer at a time, that you stop thinking rationally and you start listening to them.
Absolutely. I call it dancing inside the circle of crazy.
And I
Once
just love when you say that, Misty. Can you explain that to people, dancing
yes,
inside
I would
the
love
circle
to.
Of crazy?
That's my favorite phrase. And I was so guilty of dancing inside the circle of crazy. There's just like an imaginary circle of craziness. And when you live on the inside of that circle, if you survive, you learn how to adapt. And each manipulation, each thing to control you, each thing to isolate you doesn't seem so bad. You just learn to adapt. And
you become
that way,
a survivor, right?
You become a survivor. And the manipulator learns new tactics to take it above and beyond. So your threshold is continually changing and moving up and moving up. And I became to live in a situation that was so dangerous. My life, towards the end, my life was threatened on a daily basis. But I was dancing inside that circle of crazy. And when you're in there, you just don't think clear. I was in a brain fog.
Did any of your family suspect this was going on?
They didn't. They come to a point, the longer we were married, I think the less they liked my husband, and I'm speaking of my parents directly because I'm really close with my parents. But they never interfered. You know, it was my life. It was my marriage. They were not ones to interfere with that. However, they were completely shocked that I had lived through any type of abuse. They never thought I would live through any type of abuse because I was such a strong, spirited, and minded woman.
Exactly.
Yeah, it gets us. It breaks you. This will break you.
It really does, and that's why I tell women, no matter how strong you are prior to the marriage, this kind of a marriage will break you.
It will. It creates what I call a soul wound. This wound damages down to your soul. It shakes the foundation of who you are, what you are, how you identify yourself. It alters you. It really does.
I think there's a variety of different kinds of marriages that go on because some of them really start deteriorating early in the marriage. But there are also women who are married happily for 20 or 30 years and who
mm-hmm.
have no idea or no clue whatsoever. And then all of a sudden one day they're told by their partner that, you know, there's a problem in the marriage. And they're honest about it because at that point they're usually ready to leave because they've found somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the women who I think have the most difficult time dealing with it because they thought they had a happy marriage for all these years. I know that for women who had abusive types of marriages, and a lot of women do, that, you know, sometimes it's just a relief to be out of it. But it's such a difficult situation for women to understand who thought they had the marriage of the century, and all of a sudden it's over. So these marriages are very varied. I mean, some are bad, some are good, but they all end up the same way.
Absolutely. The results end up the same. However, you're exactly, I have to agree with you. And the women I work with, the ones that have the best marriages, by far, they have the most difficulty. By far,
it's very hard accepting that something that you love so much
mm-hmm.
is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And women cannot understand it. They really can't. And they can't understand how their soulmate in life, how their partner in life. And in many cases, what really throws women off is that they're still having sexual relations with their husbands throughout the marriage. And this is really what throws them off, is that if their husband's gay, all of a sudden, that for 20 years, 30 years, he didn't know he was gay and just woke up one day and he's gay. And I think this is the hardest confusion that many women have in learning about this. Do you find that too?
Yes, I find that to be so true. Some of the women I've worked with, you know, they have adult children. They've raised their family together. They've had attentive husbands. The husband has had a good job. They have been respectful towards them. But then it gets to, like what you say, oftentimes they either can't go on, they find themselves reaching an age they cannot sexually perform anymore with their straight spouse, or they find someone, they meet someone, they meet a partner that they think is the love of their life, and then they come home and bounce the news onto their married partner. And it's quite devastating because, you know, what's so unfortunate, the gay person in this marriage has had years and years and years to deal with coming to terms to their sexuality. Then they spring it on the straight spouse. And oftentimes, that gay spouse expects the straight spouse to jump up to speed with them when they're in total shock. They have no idea. For myself, it was the missing piece of the puzzle. It made sense because I had a very abusive marriage. But for many of the women I work with, there were really no missing pieces of the puzzle. They were not searching for the missing link.
And you're so right that people expect you to go through what I call gay husband recovery in a minute. And
yeah.
Men are just ready to tell you and ready for you to accept it. In fact, I had a woman write to me today that she was married for 16 years and her husband came out to her a few months ago and they've split up. And people can't understand why they can't be wonderful friends right now. That she should be over it, you know, she already knows what the problem is, what's taking her so long. And I think that a lot of our women go through that same kind of pressure, that they're expected to get over it, you know, give yourself the time to, you know, cry it out, but then learn to accept it. And I don't think it's very easy to do that.
It is not. It is not. This is a grief recovery process. It's like your mate has died because the person as you knew them is dead. It's no longer existing. There's someone new. There's someone different. You wake up with a stranger in your bed.
And in some ways, I think it's really worse than death, and I'll tell you why, Misty. You can tell me if you agree or not. At least when there's death, there's finality to it.
Yes.
You grieve, and it's over.
I do agree.
Marriages, they're not over. You know, the person's still there. You know, you see the person who you loved, and now all of a sudden you're faced with all these complications, and they're not always very, you know, easy to get through.
Absolutely. There's additional layers of complication. Absolutely. And unfortunately, there's also additional explanations expected from others, because on the outside looking in, most people, including myself, people thought you had the perfect marriage.
That
and with
happens
the death,
many times,
you don't have
exactly.
to explain it.
And then there are so many other issues that go along with it, especially, for instance, when a husband says to you, well, you can't tell anybody.
Mm.
So now you have to become the keeper of his secret.
Yes.
He can go and live his gay life, but he expects you to keep quiet about it. How do you feel about that?
Very frustrated. I get very upset because I call it the secret keeper syndrome. I mean, you're expected to keep this secret of your spouses. I mean, it's devastating. It isolates you when you have no one to talk to you can trust. It spreads. It's like a cancer. It's like a disease. You know, if you get cancer, you get a terrible disease, you need to go to the doctor. You need to be treated. This is our emotional health is just so altered. Our emotional health is so important. And I'm a firm believer that our emotional health, if it's negative, it can affect our physical health. So it's so important to seek that support. And here's why. I can even give myself as an example. 3 years before I divorced, I had made the decision I was going to divorce my ex. I had called him up in a bunch of lies and with, I thought and suspected, a boyfriend. Well, unfortunately, I let him talk me out of it. I let him convince me that he wasn't doing anything and he loved me, that he loved me more than anything. And, you know, denial is the best form of self-preservation. So I lived with him for 3 more years, and I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone, and it was so hard. It physically damaged me. It emotionally damaged me. It spiritually drained me.
Then, I think their denials to us is something that we're so happy to hear, even if we know in our heart that it's not true.
Yes.
As soon as they say, no, it's not true, I'm not seeing anyone, or you're imagining it,
mm-hmm.
that we start to feel so happy that, you know, we're relieved, because who wants to have the phantom that our husbands are gay?
Absolutely.
And I think that we
guilty.
Need to mention also, Misty, because we often talk about this in our chat room, is that almost all the women have a certain prototype of women that gay men seek out.
Yeah.
But one thing I do have to say is that I've never met a woman yet through all the years that weren't pro-gay outside their marriage. That you can't say that it's a prejudice thing. I mean, you know, women, once again, it has nothing to do with being anti-gay. It's about being anti-gay men who marry. And there's a very big difference there.
Absolutely. That's such an important differentiation to bring up. That's something that everyone needs to understand. I had and was surrounded by gay friends at the time. I mean, I think everyone needs to be accepted and loved for who they are and appreciated and honored for who they are. However, excuse me, it's so different when you wake up and you're married to someone that you really didn't know. It's those lies and betrayal that runs so deep. It's not a crime that they're gay. The crime is that they lied to you and betrayed you. That's the crime, because you don't know who you're married to anymore. And that's the part that runs so deep. And that doesn't make us homophobic. I'm anything but homophobic. And unfortunately, the lack of awareness of straight spouse issues is what many people perceive us as being homophobic, and that's anything but further than the truth. Many of the women I work with, they have successfully restored some type of relationship post-divorce, you know, in terms, especially if they have children, and they try to be very accepting of their ex-spouse's homosexuality. So it's not homophobic at all. And that's, if anything comes out of this conversation tonight and can spread light on straight spouse issues, I think this is one of the most important things for people to understand. And I'm so glad you brought that up.
And I think it's really true that a lot of these men, it has nothing to do with their sexuality. It has to do with the sense of how they treat us,
mm-hmm.
how they deceive us, how they betray us. And I agree, Ms. Dina, the first thing I always say is that people have no choice in being gay, but they do have a choice in being honest.
Yes.
And even if they can't be honest with themselves when they're marrying us, because I know that there are, certainly I've worked with enough gay men to know that they all had some kind of nagging doubts at the point of their marriage, almost all of them,
mm-hmm.
knew that something was off or something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're hoping that that will all change when they love someone and they do fall in love with their wives. And when you're in your 20s, any kind of sexuality can feel good for a lot of people. But the bottom line is, in time that changes, and I say that, you know, what I don't understand is why so many of them have to go out and be doing so many different sexual things with other guys and still not tell us. You know, to me, that's where the deceit comes in. If you want
Absolutely.
To be gay, you know, outwardly and be honest about it, that's fine. Go to your wife and say, I have these feelings, before you act on them.
Absolutely, because that brings me to another important topic. You know, it's just so important what you just said. There's no crime in being gay, and I'm with you on this. I do not believe people have a choice. Either you are or you're not. And treat it with integrity. Come home to your spouse and say, you know, I have something terrible, terrible to tell you that I'm afraid of even myself. You know, let's talk about this and see how we can work this out, work things out, see which direction we're going to go in. I mean, people need to live in their integrity, because when you hide this secret, it's damaging for both sides. And one thing that's so important is, I know you've worked with a lot of women, and I've worked with a lot of women, that once they see me or talk to you, they've dealt with some sexually transmitted diseases.
That's really horrifying to think of how many women we have who now have sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes.
Because their husbands couldn't be honest with them, and they couldn't be safe with themselves.
Absolutely.
And, you know, thank goodness today sexually transmitted diseases are more livable than they used to be, like with HIV and AIDS, but it still changes the whole dynamic of a person's life when she contracts a sexually transmitted disease.
Absolutely.
As if she's not feeling badly enough, and now to have to find out that, you know, she has HIV, AIDS, or herpes, you know, that they're scarred for life even further.
Mm-hmm.
And men just don't think about this when they go out and they're irresponsible. And I tell these men, you know, as far as when they say, how can we fix things, how can we make things better, to me there's only one way, is to first be responsible emotionally to your family and financially to your family. And what really hurts me is when I have to see women who end up spending thousands of dollars on divorce. This is one of the issues that I really want to work on this year, because, you know, they say it takes two to tango when you're ending a marriage. But in this particular case, it really only takes one, and that means the gay spouse. Because if the spouse had been straight to start with, chances are there wouldn't have been the same problems throughout the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have to see women giving up half of their assets or losing their home because their husband is gay or paying thousands of dollars to an attorney, it really makes me ill. I mean, I feel that if a man truly wants to be remorseful or sorry about the situation. I'm not saying he has to be sorry about being gay, but he should be sorry about the situation. And he needs to do the right thing and be financially responsible to his family. And also, he should pay for the divorce and not make his wife give up, you know, what she had going into that marriage. How do you feel about that, Misty?
I have to agree. I give a resounding yes to that, because, you know, a lot of these spouses that I work with, straight spouses, I mean, a lot of them are stay-at-home mothers. Not all of them. A lot of them are. And a lot of their gay spouses are very professional men with very nice jobs. And it's so difficult for me to see the straight spouse struggle, just struggle and strain financially to where that they're so strapped for cash they can't even get a good attorney or, you know, pay for their basic needs. And it's so difficult to see that happen. I have to agree with you. I mean, by all means, don't be, it's not guilt or shame over being gay, but certainly stand up. Stand up, man.
Do the right thing.
Pay,
you know,
do the right thing.
Absolutely. I can't understand why a woman should have to be paying for a divorce at all. And
I have to agree.
I mean, first of all, when I hear guys say, well, you know, there were problems in our marriage. Yes, there were. But you can't be blaming your wife because there were problems in your marriage. You went into the marriage with your wife not knowing what the situation was. You went throughout the marriage not telling her what was happening. So she was reacting to the way she was being treated. So if there were problems, they weren't the kinds of problems she would have had if her husband wasn't gay.
Absolutely. And with myself, my own situation was a little bit different, in that my now ex-husband, he would have never given me, I mean, I almost never got a divorce out of him. Some of these men refuse to divorce, and they don't want to be exposed. So, you know, I felt like the guilty one of having to get the divorce papers, file for divorce, petition for divorce, when I wasn't the one out being adulterous, you know,
having affairs, having men. And by the way, I just do want to mention, if any of our callers are listening and they would like to call in with any questions or comments, please feel free to call in at 646-716-4893, and Misty and I will be happy to talk with you. I did want to mention that tonight in our chat room we were bringing up the subject about how some of the religious, different, you know, Christian churches view this. And one of the women brought up the fact that, you know, she would remarry, you know, that when you're married for life. And if you walk out of a gay marriage and you remarry, then you're the one committing adultery. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. I struggled with that for about 10 years. Excuse me. That was one of the reasons that I danced inside the circle of crazy for so long, was my strict upbringing. And by no means am I bashing any church or any religion. I am a God-loving woman. However, I took on so much of his indiscretions and so much of what he was doing. I internalized it, but yeah, I took it as being my fault. I bore his burden as well. And due to my upbringing, I put off getting a divorce. I thought it wasn't the right thing to do. I thought it would be my straight ticket to hell or not being able to remarry, and I was quite young at the time. I wanted that opportunity to possibly marry again in life. And finally, I came to realize that this was a decision between me and God. This wasn't a decision between me and church. If I stayed, I didn't know if I was going to live. If I got out, I could possibly live, recover, and do great things on the face of this earth and share my gifts. I could never share the gifts I have with this world if I had stayed in the marriage I was in. I'm not even for sure if I would still be alive, to be quite honest. So,
Missy, I think we have a caller, so let's see if
okay.
We can get the caller in. Just give me a moment, and we'll see if somebody's there that we want to talk to. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Misty and Bonnie. Well, this is Bonnie, and Misty's on the line. And how are you tonight?
Very good, thank you.
And can you give us a name?
Vicki.
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Hi, Vicki.
And is there something you wanted to ask us or share with us?
I just want to tell you, you guys have hit every subject that I have dealt with in the last 14 months. And I really appreciate everything, because it adds every doubting moment that you can think as a woman in your mind, what you go through, and it really makes your whole vision of being a straight spouse, living with a gay husband, and knowing what you really have to do in the end.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about your situation?
My situation was that my husband and I had a 34-year-old marriage together, and we worked side by side for 23 years and retired and traveled for the last 7 years, and I had absolutely no clue that there was any other relationships going on, and little did I know that it was just this one day he popped up to me after I had just asked a few questions as to where he was and why was he always late for this and that, and all of a sudden it was just, well, I want to tell you that I am gay and in love with someone else. And it was the biggest shock of my life. And so when that happens, you just can't even imagine how you have loved someone for all this time and really had no clue, when you live in a marriage that you believe is great, is perfect. and you are the perfect wife.
Did you think maybe, Vicki, he was going through some kind of period of time in his life, like a midlife crisis or...
Exactly, exactly.
It can be true,
friends,
maybe it's just, you know, something
right.
from life change
friends,
at the moment.
Right, friends dying, all of a sudden a father dying, situation where all of a sudden, you know, I'm 57 years old and my gosh, my life is going by and I'm in this spot where it's just going too fast and it's going to be over if I don't, you know, get this all in.
And
so,
did it seem really strange to you after all those years of marriage that boom, he just popped out with this information?
Very strange. It's such a defeat. You can't even, you know, the feeling in your heart and your soul and every bit of your life is gone in a moment.
Vicki, I know that the last 14 months must have been very difficult for you. And
mm-hmm.
often Misty, you know, who does also grief counseling, talks about different aspects of the grief cycle. And I think that maybe she could talk a little bit with you about the different, you know, different phases that you went through, and let's see if they compare. So go ahead, Misty.
Okay. Hi, Vicki. I'm so sorry. I just can't imagine coming from such, you know, the thing that I must comment on to make it that many years, you know, after you've made it 10, 15 years, you think, wow, I've got it made, you know. You know,
yes.
We're home free now. We've made it. Especially if you're seeing couples around you, friends possibly, get divorced and do this. And, you know, and my heart just really goes out for these long-term marriages. It really, really does. So, first of all, please accept my apology on behalf of everybody out there, how difficult that must be. And I don't want that to be discounted at all. And Bonnie was mentioning that this is such a grief-related issue. It really is. And the grief model that I like to use the best with my clients is the one set forth by and made by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She just brought so much to the grief in terms of our culture and our society learning more about grief. And mind you that her model was set forth for terminal patients. However, over the years, we've come to realize, hey, these stages can be applied to other types of grief. For example, you know, not only dying, but, you know, it can apply to people losing a job, people going through divorce, people, all kinds of losses that we accumulate over life. And our loss in particular as a straight spouse, we can go through some of these stages. And her very basic, and that's another reason I like to use her model, it's very basic. It's not full of fluff, you know. And
Yeah. The
only thing is, the model is, some people misinterpret it. They think you're supposed to go through each stage a set amount of time. That's not true. What I like about her model and how she explains it, if you really study her work, this is really what you could view as a circular model, meaning, you know, put all of the topics in a circle, the stages, and put an arrow going back and forth from each one. It's circular. You can go, you can dance through any of these stages and then go back and step forward and revisit a different stage. Or you may not visit one of the stages at all. And with that being said, here's the stages. The stages are denial. I'm sure.
And that was your first stage, Vicki, that you went through, correct?
Yes, yes.
Denial. How about anger?
Well, how long was the denial, would you say?
I'm still saying it is. I mean, it's not just totally over. I mean, because
right.
in a good marriage, you're still thinking, you know, it's just like, how can this be? And it hits you differently every day. It takes forever. I mean, when people say, you know, well, you've been in this a year, it's like you're, you know, it's like every day of your life is a different moment that something happens, and one minute you can be happy and the next minute you're sad and you're thinking, you've changed my life to make you happy.
Yes.
And that's very true. But going back to the grieving stages, did you find yourself, you know, in the beginning for the first few weeks or months thinking that, once again, this can't be happening? He must be mistaken.
Possibly.
You know, it must just be a momentary thing that he's having a change of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that
yeah.
he's going to change
yeah.
his mind and come back to me.
Oh, yes. For months, it was, let me, you know, he would say, let me see where this goes for me. Let me just see where this goes and, you know, give me a chance to breathe. And then, you know, it's like, let me see if this really works. And then, you know, you'll be there. So you'll be there to lean on since you have been all my life.
So he was kind of giving you some false hope also. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's what keeps the denial going longer, when these guys can't take responsibility and say, look,
mm-hmm.
this is who I am. It's not going to change. Doesn't mean I don't love you. I just can't be a husband to you. It's like
right.
when they're saying, let me go out and try it, and if I don't like it, I will come back.
Mm-hmm. And
so
it's,
isn't that
it's
a way
not,
of just like you using
right.
you as a puppet back and forth?
Right, and that's the vision that, okay, it's like having someone in your life for all this time, and all of a sudden you're looking at this person, and all these things he's saying to you are nothing you've ever heard in your whole life with them, and you can't even imagine these words coming out of their mouth, you know, their eyes, their whole face, everything changes in just an instant. And you're like, you know, you aren't even, who are you?
Let me ask you this question, Vicki, before we get to the next stage. Did you have
okay.
any clue at all before he revealed this news to you?
I honestly did not. I did not. He was not the... He just wasn't. I mean, he never had any feminine side that was right there. You know, we were with each other every day doing things, and it just, no, I would say no. I really don't.
He wasn't on the computer doing gay porn. He wasn't in chat rooms. I mean, there was nothing that would give you any kind of visible sign, correct?
You know, he was on the computer, but it was in an office setting, so
mm-hmm.
I never, you know, I didn't look. I didn't see what, you know, I believed what, you know, it was all business stuff. I had no idea what.
And I'd like to mention that because a lot of times women are really clueless. You know, these guys are really great at learning how to lie.
Yeah, all the
and how to go behind your back and how to not make you have any kind of hints at all, because I know that so many women that I've worked with, the problem is always when they're saying to me, we don't have any proof, we can't get any proof. And
mm-hmm.
these guys are very clever. You know, they know how to not leave a trail behind in many
mm-hmm.
cases. So
yeah.
you had no clue or no hint at all, and then all of a sudden this news is dropped on you. And at that point, as we were talking about denial, and what's the next stage, Misty?
Anger. Anger. Anger.
Anger
can be, and also with the stage of anger, not only angry at the spouse for changing your life and your world come crashing down, a lot of the women I work with, I'm not for sure with you, Vicki, but a lot of the women I work with are angry at themselves. They get mad at themselves for not knowing.
Right, right.
Did you feel any of that?
I did. I felt more just, you know, I think isolated was my anger, knowing that, you know,
You gave up a
whole
life.
I had to deal with, yes, and it is, you isolate yourself from your family, and you get mad because afterwards you're thinking, you know, the controlling issue that they have on you, you really don't see it until, for me, you know, I mean, we married right out of high school, and, you know, I believed in everything that he did and what I did for him. So it, there wasn't, I really, anger-wise, it is something that, you know, I mean, you can say the words and you can get mad, but it's hard to just have that in you constantly. I haven't experienced it as an everyday thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a different...
No, you don't have to, because it's a phase you do go through, and certainly I'm sure in the 14 months you've been angry at times, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. definitely.
Because if you
yes.
stay with that anger and you don't get past the anger, the next stage you would go through would be bitterness.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm.
not the goal in grieving. It's to get
mm-hmm.
to the end of the line of the, you know, acceptance of the situation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What about the bargaining, Misty?
Bargaining, yeah. I see this happening often in these relationships. And bargaining can be as simple as bargaining your own emotional welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing the husband or the gay partner to do whatever they want to do, and you know,
mm-hmm.
you figuring out how to try to accept that, you bargaining away your own rights as a woman and your rights as a spouse. I see this happen often,
yes.
and not always.
I think that a lot of times women are so much want to save their marriages that
absolutely.
They're willing to give up certain things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the top things that most women are so willing to give up is sex, because, you know, sex isn't everything with a relationship. I agree with that. However, in a heterosexual relationship, it still needs to be respected and honored. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of women bargain that away.
Right. Right.
And I think a lot of women are misled over just by the fact that people say, well, sex fades as you stay together longer. You know, that this wouldn't necessarily be a reason for suspicion if you're not having sex after 15, 20, 25, 30 years.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of straight marriages where sex doesn't become the primary factor anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's true, Vicki?
Yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, looking back, I do feel that, you know, yes, I did give up that because, you know, there was always an excuse, and you just think, well, okay, you know, let's don't rock the boat here, so
mm-hmm.
just, you know, make everything easy for everybody.
Right, they're under stress, they're tired, their back hurts.
Yeah, their head hurts. Yeah, everything hurts, absolutely. And that's a great point, Vicki. Yeah, you just don't want to rock the boat, absolutely. So we bargain that away. A lot of us straight spouses bargain that away to keep the marriage going and to keep down conflict. You know,
right.
we bargain that away. And another stage would be depression. I think this one is really important stage that a lot of our women go through. What do you think about that one, Vicki?
I would say yes, depression, definitely. I really didn't have much depression in my life. I mean, I was happy in my work. I was happy with the life that we had, the time that we, you know, were always together, and what we did was, you know, a lot of fun things. And so I never had depression until now, until the last year and a half, and I did not experience it. So it's like a whole different world. And, you know, knowing you had, I mean, I've gone to doctors, I've got antidepressants, and it at times, you know, I mean, that hits you, and you're just like going, this is not anything I ever wanted to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who wanted to talk to lawyers? Who wanted to deal with, you know, a gay husband that you believed was someone else? And that, you know, it starts breaking you down to where, you know, here you have to go and get help in order to see this through for what he believes. What, you know, you believe he's not the same person.
And he's not.
Yeah,
uh-uh.
He's certainly not the person that you married. He's a totally different
right.
person.
Right.
And you're dealing with a different person. And one thing I think that is so important about the depression stage is my belief of reflecting on my own experience and reflecting on some of the, you know, clients I have and have had,
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of this depression I feel comes from when you learn this news,
yeah.
it really
yeah.
changes not only their identity, but it changes your own identity, because
definitely.
We certainly define ourselves with our partners, their family, and things like that. It rocks our own identity.
Yeah, yeah. And your whole life, I mean, you know, from eating to, you know, I mean, having meals together, that was my most difficult time was
mm-hmm.
I, you know, I didn't want to eat. I lost, you know, weight. I was depressed from every minute, you know, getting up in the day, and your normal everyday life is so turned upside down that, you know, that's a struggle in itself.
Absolutely. Your world has been thrown off of orbit when you learn this news. It's really turned upside down and torn apart. Your world is.
Exactly.
And it's not this. It'll never go back to being the same. Yeah, it can be better, and it will improve. But during this time that's so difficult, right in the midst of it, anything can be a struggle. You know, just getting yourself out of the bed, getting yourself ready for work, getting yourself in the shower. Are you able to even go to work? You know, a lot of the women I work with, you know, it's just so debilitating. It takes some time to get through this, and grief is really something to honor. It will force you to honor it and recognize it one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really
will. I honestly don't think, I wasn't working at this time. I've, you know, been retired for 7 years, but I don't honestly know how a person could possibly work with their mind being in such turmoil as constant as, you know, mine was, and knowing that your whole life is just going to be different.
I think that's very typical, Vicki. I think that a lot of women have a very hard time maintaining the norm of day-to-day going to a job, interacting with people, with their family, with their children, because this is something that's constantly, especially in the first year, hanging over your head.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
wherever
you go, you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's like on your shoulder at all times. Did you find that?
Oh, yes. I find it today. It's just, you know, it's just like people, it's like you're in your world with your people that you know, your friends, your everyone, and they, you know, your husbands aren't around anymore. They're gone to where, you know, they're off in their own little world, and you have to deal with everything, your life, your family, your friends, and, you know, it's like your whole world just changes, you know.
Vicki, I don't know if you heard Misty and I earlier, but one of the things we were speaking about is how so many of these men expect us to keep their secrets after, you know, they've come out to us.
Exactly.
Did you find yourself in that situation?
I'm still in that situation. I still am faced with a husband that thinks his mother has no right to know this because, you know, why make her world unhappy when there's nothing she can do? And, you know, it's to me, being married for 33 years to a person and knowing that, you know, that he doesn't even want to tell her that we're separated or getting divorced, and it, to me, that's cruel. It's absolutely cruel.
Well, it's cruel to you to have to keep his secret. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on, you know, the spouse or on the wife, that not only does she have to live through this whole nightmare, but she can't even tell anyone.
That's a huge burden to carry.
And then when people see that you're separated and they ask you why, and so many of these men will go out and say, well, it just didn't work out. You know, we had differences. Like, it's your fault that you had differences.
It's none of your business. Which has nothing
to do with you. Do you think that your husband's doing that with his family, or do they not know you're separated?
They have no clue. He will not tell anyone. I mean, and, you know, I'm the type that I need support from my friends, from my family. And, you know, I think women are nurturing people, and they intend to do that and intend to look for someone to help us, where these men seem to be, you know, madly in love, and they're in la-la land for a while until, you know, they finally settle down and live the life that they want, I guess. And it's very, just so different than your normal world of the respect and caring and, you know, the life that you believed when you got married, that, you know, it was going to be happily ever after and they were going to take care of you. So
not only that, but I feel that they really change on top of everything else. That they become someone, and I'm not just talking about the sexuality. I'm talking about the personality. That all of a sudden, they're like a totally different person than the one that you knew.
Right. Every word that comes out of their mouth, you're thinking, who are you anymore?
Right. It's like a stranger in your midst, and you have no idea who it is.
Mm-hmm.
because they talk about things you would have never dreamt a year and a half ago that they would have ever said to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from the churches they go to the places, to the movies, to the the gay bars, to things that you are, going.
Well, and let me ask you, Vicki, what was his explanation to you when he did tell you? Did he tell you this had been going on for a while, that it just popped out one day? What was he telling you?
He basically just told me that, he had had these tendencies for all his life and suppressed it and had really felt like he was in love with someone and just, needed to see where the whole thing all went, and for him to be the person that he needs to be without lies, he is a gay man. And that was, basically, and, of course he did say he loved me and I was the perfect wife, and, any kind of help that he could get me, he would, from counselors to anything he can now, movies that he sends me that all are same situation type, men in gay life, to let me become educated as to learning all about the life that he so desires now.
Well, I think you probably had enough education to last you a lifetime. Sending you videos and movies isn't going to really help the situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this. When he was talking to you about the way he felt through his life that he had gay tendencies or gay feelings,
mm-hmm.
I think that from what you just told us, that he finally told you about it when he told you that he has somebody else. Now,
yeah.
But I guess that must have hurt more than anything else.
It did. It did. It was nothing more than, coffee at Starbucks, a couple meetings, and a few phone calls, and all of a sudden it was the door opened and a whole new life started, and there was no way to stop and no way to be, from now on I'm gay and you must accept it, and there you go.
But I think I think that if it's just that somebody tells you it's gay, it's bad enough. But
mm-hmm,
when they
mm-hmm.
tell you on top of it that I love someone else, I mean, that has to hurt more than anything else.
It hurts. It is very, very damaging. I mean, to absolutely love someone with your every bone, body, soul, you just can't even, it's unbelievable. So,
Misty, what's the next stage that you think that Vicki's going to go through?
Well, the final stage, would be acceptance. And acceptance is so different than I think than what many people perceive it is. Acceptance means that you can just tolerate maybe the situation a little more. That doesn't mean that
you have to
accept how you were treated. You have to accept, being the dishonesty in someone or anything like that. Acceptance means that, you're more accepting of yourself as well. And that goes back to the part about forgiveness, I believe. The first place we have to forgive is ourselves, because so many of us blame ourselves for not picking up on things or not noticing things. When, why as a spouse should we have to look for those things anyway? When we're treating a marriage with integrity and honesty, that's what we expect back. And with these stages, I think it's also important to note that, you can dance through all of them. Maybe you don't go through all of them. Maybe you just go through four of them versus five. And you can repeat different areas. That's why I say the model should be like a circular model with arrows pointing back and forth to the different stages. Because everyone's grieving response is different. Grief is unique. The phrase I always like to use to describe grief is, it's as unique as a fingerprint. Your fingerprint only belongs to you. there's a lot of similarities, but it only belongs to you. And there, like you said earlier, Vicki, how that, you know, some people expect you to be over things quickly and to get over it. Oh, just get over it. You know, you'll get through it. Get over it. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, I had people tell me, I'm not sure if you, oh, it must be easier because it's with a man. If it was with a woman, it's much worse. People always
right.
give some of this advice, and they have no idea how you're grieving behind your closed doors of your home. So, you know, just realize that the grief process is very unique, and you can't turn this love on and off like a light switch. You have to find ways to transform yourself and re-identify yourself and rediscover yourself. That's all part of the grief, because you know what? A situation like this with grief, it just breaks us wide open. It shatters us. It really does. It shatters us down to our core, down to our being. And we have to pick up the pieces. Some pieces we leave behind. Sometimes we find new pieces to rebuild upon. But grief is really hard. But what I think about the grief process, and this is why I use Elizabeth Ross, Kubler-Ross's stages, is at least it educates us a little bit about what maybe we can expect, even though we may not go through all of them. So with that being said, how do you feel acceptance applies to you?
I just, you know, you have to, yeah, just accept it and know that you have to find a path for yourself. And it's
not easy, is it?
No, it isn't. There isn't, is not a day that's easy.
Right, every day is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And as I tell women, what they have to be aware of is that a year is a normal grieving time that, you know, that people have. With these relationships, sometimes it takes longer. Only because the relation, you know, when you lose somebody, it's over. But when you're grieving for someone that's still there, it takes longer because the reminders are still there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even after you're past the grieving stage, there's still a lot of scarring that's left.
That's
and
right.
You need to be aware of that, that it won't, you know, it's like a wound that dries up and it won't take much to scratch it to make you, you know, have these feelings again.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
it's not going to be in a year, in another year or 2 years or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these scars really run deep, and as far as trusting yourself and believing in yourself again
mm-hmm.
and building up who you are and starting a whole new life by yourself, which was something that you never intended.
Right, right.
I mean, you were a couple for 30-some years.
Right. It was
now
always
you're single.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just me. And that's one thing. It is hard to even, I mean, to talk about when, I mean, you just, you're like going, us all the time. Or I always say, well, we, you know, did this. And with traveling and stuff, it's just like even, you know, shows, movies, anything you go to that familiarizes you with the places you've been, it's just like you have these meltdowns constantly on your mind, you know.
Do you have family support, Vicki? Does your family know?
Well, yes, I have a sister that knows, you know, and
was she totally taken off balance with it also?
Oh, definitely. I mean, blown away.
Positions.
Just can't even... You know, she's known my husband since we were all in high school, and it shocks everyone. There was not he's a very manly man, and no one expected it in my family.
And how about your friends? Have you told them yet?
Only a few, just very few, and, you know, they have been in shock. I mean, basically, you know, never, you know, my husband always was a very, if his phone rang, he answered it. And the last year, he hasn't answered it. And they all wondered, you know, what's going on, what's happened to him, you know, where is he, that kind of thing. And so, you know.
And how do you explain it?
I just explain it, well, you have to ask him. There's, you know, there's no other way. It's just this emptiness you have, and I don't, it's, you know, like, well, he isn't here.
Now, did you have mutual friends between the two of you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So are they still in touch with him?
No. No, no one has been because he just is not wanting to, you know, he doesn't relate to anybody that we were in friends with at all.
So he's really taken on a whole new life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dropped off the face of the earth.
Leaving everything he had behind.
Uh-huh.
And he can't even be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
To the whole, you know, to everybody.
Right, right. It's one of those things where it's nobody else's business.
So are you feeling now 14 months later a little better than you felt 14 months ago?
Oh, yeah. I can get through a day without crying, and I feel like, you know, I mean, I know life is, it goes on, and you just have to go on, you know. You have to accept that part of it. It's very difficult knowing, you know, that you have to deal with lawyers and split things up when, you know, they've left and gone, and you're trying to, you know, say, wow, this is how my life is going to be, and it's time to start over.
Vicki, we were talking earlier about lawyers, so I'd just like your opinion on this.
Well, I believe the same thing, that the woman should not be the one, you know, that has to pay for it. And
I don't get it. I mean, why should you have to pay for anything?
Right.
You had a happy life. You were a wonderful wife. You know, you said your husband tells people you were the best wife. He told you. You've done nothing wrong in this marriage. Why do you have to pay for anything?
Right. Everything was planned and plotted and turned out the way, you know, we believed it was going to, and then all of a sudden this. But that, you know, that is one thing that upsets the whole apple cart. It's not, you know, it doesn't make sense that having this free life that, you know, he wishes to, then you are set with all of the financial troubles and, you know, then, and I, you know, I am the one that had to go and file for divorce because he certainly wasn't going to, you know, why not just be married and you live your life and I'll live my life. And so, you know, that was his idea.
Yeah. Why don't we just stay married and I'll have my cake and I'll eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Very common in this population, it seems.
Yeah.
Selfish.
They want it all ways, not just one way. But I just feel that this year I really want to focus on doing something about women. I really feel it's discriminatory against a woman to have to pay for a divorce when it's not her fault that the divorce is happening. These guys have to step up to the plate and they have to take on the financial responsibility of doing the right thing.
Right, yeah. And that was, you know, that was one thing we had discussed. Well, I mean, like right when the day that he told me, it was just this, you know, 50-50, and I'm just like, what are you talking about? You know, if you're the one that wants out, how can you even consider that? But then, you know, you go to a lawyer and you find out, like, in our state, it is 50-50, and you're thinking, you know, well, we work side by side with each other, and so it's not even, you know, not even being like Social Security age. It's like, okay, we've got to go back to work and start all over again.
And after all these years, it has to be so difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to be ending our show. And Vicki,
okay,
we want to thank you for being the best guest anybody could ask for.
Absolutely.
Especially on our opening trial run. And
well,
I hope it's not too much of an imposition to ask you to come back.
No, I would love it.
You're such an articulate speaker who can really get women to understand the pain that you're going through. Doesn't she, Misty?
Absolutely. I'm honored that you have called in, give us your insight, and you've helped so many other women out there, and I'm just honored that you have added to the voice of Straight Spouses tonight. Thank you.
Well, we're certainly going to be announcing the show to thousands of people in the upcoming week, so hopefully you'll be one of our first guests calling in on the next show.
Yeah, great.
All we can say is that if you do want further information, you can reach me at my website at www.gayhusbands.com. there. You can email me, and I can access you to Misty. And if not, we have lots of information for you to read. Misty has a newsletter. I have a monthly newsletter. I have lots of information to really help people understand the situation better. So don't feel isolated and don't feel alone. Realize you're not alone anymore. There are millions of us out there. So, Misty, let's say goodnight.
Good night, everyone. I'm honored to be here, and thank you, Bonnie, for putting this together.
You're very welcome. I know this is going to be a big success. And Vicki, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Vicki.
You're very welcome.
You are really, you can have your own show, Vicki. You're so good. I'm just intrigued listening to you. All right. And ladies, happy Valentine's Day. Remember, it's a day of love. Learn to love yourself first, right, Misty?
Absolutely. Love yourself first. It's the foundation to all healthy love,
right?
Learning to love ourselves first.
Because if you can't love yourself first, you're never going to be able to love anybody else in the right way, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
All right. So I'll talk to you ladies very soon.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bonnie, are you still there?
Bye-bye.
Bonnie, are you still there?